Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to another in the series of Read the Word. We are live with you on this Sunday morning. Remember, on Sunday mornings, we receive communion together, the end of our Read the Word session. And that way, if you had not remembered, you can get your communion elements ready, have them ready for the end of the program. It's Sunday morning, wow, it's already. This summer is flying by. Amazing. So today, we're in the book of Amos. Amos was a contemporary with Isaiah, and he's considered a minor prophet, but with a very powerful, powerful word. So let's pray our opening prayer. That's not the right page. Let's pray our opening prayer. And we'll get into the Word of God today. Ready? You can find the opening prayer right there in the notes of the program on Blog Talk Radio and on YouTube. Father, I open my spirit, soul, and body to be led by you today, so that Christ may dwell in my heart through faith, so that I will be rooted and grounded in love, and be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. So I will know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge, that I might be filled with all the fullness of God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, here's the book of Amos. I always like to give a synopsis of the book at the beginning. Amos's name means burden bearer. He was a citizen of Tekoa in the tribe of Judah, a herdsman and a grower of sycamore figs, actually of fruit, right? Isn't that what that said? He's actually a fruit. I didn't know sycamore and figs could be put together, but that's interesting. Amos received a call from God, and many people tried to silence him, but he kept right on going. He was contemporary with Isaiah during the reigns of Jeroboam II in Israel and Uzziah in judgment. Amos's purpose of the book of Amos, I should say, is to pronounce God's righteous judgment on his unrighteous people. And it's very interesting how every book has its own theme and its own subject. And God was speaking to his people, trying to reach him. Just like God is trying to reach every one of us today. And the answer is, will we hear his voice? There's five visions, the vision of a locust, the vision of the fire, the vision of the plumb line, the vision of the basket of summer fruit, and a vision of a smitten sanctuary. These are all part of the book of Amos. And the famous Amos verse that most people in our generation know, 1st of all, that God does nothing unless he speaks it first to his prophets, nothing on the earth. The next one is the verse that Martin Luther King Jr. used to see justice happen in America. Let justice run down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. That was Martin Luther King Jr.'s verse that he was did all of his campaigning on. And then the other verse that everybody really knows is, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will send a famine on the land, not of bread or of water. It'll be a famine of the word." In the very last chapter, he says, the plowman is going to overtake the reaper and the treader of grapes, which is, you know, harvest, of him that sows the seed. So even though God is judging his righteous people with a righteous judgment, he always promises us that he will restore the years that a locust has eaten if we just turn to him. Here we go. Oh, let's see. That was the introduction. Amos chapter 1. The words of Amos, who was among the sheep breeders of Tekoa. You know what I immediately think of? Somebody having 100,000 sheep to give to somebody else. And this was the guy responsible for it. How many times have we heard that in the scripture? Which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. You know, how many times have I read this book and I've never seen that statement? 2 years before the earthquake must have been a great earthquake. I mean, if they mark time by it. He said, "The Lord roars from Zion, utters his voice from Jerusalem. The pastures of the shepherds mourn, and the top of Carmel withers. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Damascus and four, I will not turn away its punishment because they have threshed Gilead with implements of iron. I will send a fire into the house of Hazael, which shall destroy the palaces of Ben-Hadad. I will also break the gate bar of Damascus and cut off the inhabitant from the valley of Avon, the one who holds the scepter from Beth Eden. People of Syria shall go captive to Kir, says the Lord." That was judgment on God's enemies. Verse 6, "For three transgressions of Gaza, and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they took captive the whole captivity to deliver them up to Eden. I will send a fire upon the wall of Gaza, which shall devour its palaces. I'll cut the inhabitant from Ashdod, and the one who holds the scepter from Ashkelon. I will turn my hand against Ekron, and the remnant of the Philistines shall perish, says the Lord God." Verse 9, "Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Tyre and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they delivered up the whole captivity to Edom and did not remember the covenant of brotherhood. I will send a fire upon the wall of Tyre, which shall devour its palaces. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Eden and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because he pursued his brother with the sword, and he cast off all pity. His anger tore perpetually, and he kept his wrath forever. I will send a fire on Teman, which shall devour the palaces of Bozrah. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of the people of Ammon and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they ripped open the woman with child in Gilead." Ah. "That they might enlarge their territory. I will kindle fire in the wall of Rabbah. It shall devour the palaces amid shouting in the day of battle. In a tempest, in the day of the whirlwind, their king shall go into captivity, he and his princes together, says the Lord. Chapter 2. For 3 transgressions of Moab, and for 4, I will not turn away its punishment, because he burned the bones of the king of Edom in lime. Interesting. To lime. But I will send a fire upon Moab, and it shall devour the palaces of Kiriath. Moab shall die with Pilmoin, with shouting, trumpet sound. I will cut off the judge from its midst and slay all its princes with him. Thus says the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Judah, and for 4 I will not turn away its punishment, because they have despised the law of the Lord and have not kept his commandments. Their lies lead them astray, lies which their fathers followed. I will send a fire upon Judah, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem. Ah. God help us to help people today to learn to walk with God so you miss out. All of this judgment that's here for these wicked nations naturally is not on you and I unless we choose not to walk with God. And then he just says it. It's in the book of Isaiah where we are. If you're willing and obedient, you eat the good of the land. If you refuse and rebel, you'll be devoured by the sword. Wow. Verse 6. I'm in Amos 2:6. For 3 transgressions of Israel, and for 4 I'll not turn away its punishment, because they sell the righteous for silver, and the poor for a pair of sandals. They pant after the dust of the earth, which is on the head of the poor, and pervert the way of the humble. A man and his father go into the same girl, Jesus, to defile my holy name. They lie down by every altar on clothes taken in pledge, and drink the wine of the condemned in the house of their God. Yet it was I who destroyed the Amorite before them, whose height was like the height of the cedars, and he was as strong as the oak. Yet I devoured his fruit above and the roots beneath. And also it was I who brought you up from the land of Egypt and led you 40 years through the wilderness to possess the land of the Amorite. I raised up some of your sons as prophets, and some of your young men as Nazirites. Is it not so, O you children of Israel, says the Lord? But you gave the Nazirites wine to drink. They weren't supposed to drink wine. They weren't supposed to shave their head. They weren't supposed to drink wine. And they weren't supposed to touch a dead body. And the commandment, and commanded the prophets, saying, do not prophesy. How many people are saying that in this day? 13. I weighed down by you as a cart full of sheaves is weighed down. Therefore, flight shall perish from the swift. The strong shall not strengthen his power, nor shall the mighty deliver himself. He shall not stand who handles the bow. The swift of foot shall not escape, nor shall he who rides a horse deliver himself. The most courageous men of might shall flee naked in that day, says the Lord. And Isaiah was just saying that in what we read yesterday, that in the day of the Lord, it's going to get real serious. Chapter 3. Hear this word, that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt. Now see, he's dealing with Judah and Israel here. You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? God is saying to him, I am not in agreement with you, and if anybody's got to change, it's going to be you change to my way. Will a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he has caught nothing? Will a bird fall into a snare on the earth where there is no trap for it? Will a snare spring up from the earth if it has caught nothing at all? If a trumpet is blown in a city, will not the people be afraid? If there's calamity in the city, will not the Lord have done it? Surely, the Lord does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. A lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken. Who cannot but prophesy? Here we go. 9. Proclaim in the palaces of at Ashdod, in the palaces of the land of Egypt, and say, assemble on the mountains of Samaria. See great tumults in her midst and the oppressed within her. For they do not do right, says the Lord, who store up violence in robbery and robbery in their palaces. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, an adversary shall be all around the land. He shall sap your strength from you, and your palaces shall be plundered. And this man says, thus saith the Lord, over and over. As a shepherd takes from the mouth of the lion two legs or a piece of an ear, so shall the children of Israel be taken out who dwell in Samaria, in the corner of a bed and on the edge of a couch. Hear and testify against the house of Jacob, says the Lord God, the God of hosts, that in the day I punish Israel for their transgression, I will also visit destruction on the altar of Bethel, and the horns of the altar shall be cut off and fall to the ground. I will destroy the winter house along with the summer house. The houses of ivory shall perish, and the great houses shall have an end, says the Lord. Hear this word, you cows. Chapter 4. Hear this word, you cows of Bashan, who are the mountain of Samaria, who oppress the poor, who crush the needy, who say to your husbands, bring wine, let us drink. The Lord has sworn by his holiness. Behold, the day shall come upon you when he will take you away with fish hooks, and your posterity with fish hooks. You will go out through broken walls, each one straight ahead of her, and you'll be cast into Harmon, says the Lord. Come to Bethel and transgress. At Gilgal, multiply transgression. Bring your sacrifices every morning, your tithes every 3 days. I don't think I ever heard that term before. Offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven. Proclaim and announce the freewill offerings. For this you love, you children of Israel, says the Lord God. Also, I gave you cleanness of teeth in all your cities and lack of bread in all your places, yet you have not returned to me. I also withheld rain from you when there were still 3 months till the harvest. I made it rain on one city. I withheld rain from another city. One part was rained upon, and where it did not rain, the part withered. So two or three cities wandered to another city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet you have not returned to me, says the Lord. Wow. Starting to get a reoccurring statement here. Yet you have not returned to me. I blasted you with blight and mildew when your gardens increased. Your vineyards, your fig trees, your olive trees, the locust devoured them. Yet you have not returned to me, says the Lord. I sent among you a plague after the manner of Egypt. Your young men I killed with a sword along with your captive horses. I made the stench of your camps come up into your nostrils, yet you have not returned to me, says the Lord. I overthrew some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. You were like a firebrand plucked from the burning. Yet you have not returned to me, says the Lord. Therefore, thus will I do to you, O Israel, because I will do this to you. Prepare to meet your God, O Israel. Wow. That's pretty serious. For behold, he who forms mountain and creates the wind, who declares man what his thought is and makes the morning darkness, who treads the high places of the earth, the Lord God of hosts is his name. That's Lord Sabaoth. He's the one that is rebuking the devourer in your life when you tithe and you worship him with the tithe. Chapter 5. Hear this word which I take up against you, a lamentation, O house of Israel. The virgin of Israel has fallen. She will rise no more. She lies forsaken on her land. There is no one to raise her up. For thus says the Lord God, city that goes out by a thousand shall have 100 left, and that which goes out by 100 shall have 10 left to the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord God to the house of Israel. Seek me and live, but do not seek Bethel, nor enter Gilgal, nor pass over to Beersheba. For Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to nothing. Seek the Lord and live. That's twice he said it. Lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph and devour it, with no one to quench it in Bethel. You who turn justice to wormwood and lay righteousness to rest in the earth. He made the plains and Orient. He turns the shadow of death into morning and makes the day dark as night. He calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out on the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. He rains ruin upon the strong so that fury comes upon the fortress. They hate the one who rebukes in the gate, and they abhor the one who speaks uprightly. Therefore, because you tread down the poor and take grain taxes from him, wow. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink from them. For I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins, afflicting the just and taking bribes, diverting the poor from the justice at the gate. Therefore, the prudent keep silent at that time, for it is an evil time. Now pause. Think about what God's saying. He's saying, you're going all the wrong ways of justice, all of them. And have no desire to change. Because when you have a desire to change, it produces change. And God has given his children an opportunity to change. And of course, he's prophesying to Israel. And even though this is 750 years before Jesus, This prophecy is no different to you and I. It just isn't. God is as serious today as he's ever been. Therefore, the prudent keep silent at that time, for it's an evil time. 14. Seek good and not evil, that you may live. So the Lord God of hosts will be with you as you have spoken. And that's part of our message from tonight. Go to YouTube and search up tonight's message on establishing your faith. Hate evil, love good, establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious to the remnant of Judah, of Joseph. Verse 16, therefore the Lord God of the hosts, the Lord says this, there shall be wailing in the streets, and they shall say in all the highways, alas, alas. They shall call the farmer to mourning and skillful lamenters to wailing in all vineyards. There shall be wailing, for I will pass through you, says the Lord. Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. For what good is the day of the Lord to you? It will be darkness and not light. It will be as though a man fled from a lion and a bear met him. Wow, that's a vivid picture. Or as though he went into the house, leaned his hand on the wall, and a serpent bit him. Is it not the day of the Lord, darkness and not light? Is it not very dark with no brightness in it? I despise your feast days. Wow. And I did not savor your sacred assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them. Nor will I regard your fat and peace offerings. Take away from me the noise of your songs, for I will not hear the melody of your stringed instruments. But let justice run down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. Did you offer me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years? O house of Israel, you also carried your king and Sheon your idols, the star of your gods, which you made for yourself. Therefore, I will send you into captivity beyond Damascus, says the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts. Now you think about that. You and I don't know about you, but I would never think about making an idol and then bowing down to it. You got a piece of wood, plastic, steel, whatever it is. You're the one that made it. How can you bow down to it? It's not a god. But you think about you and I. We believe in God. And he's real. It's just Apple. We don't have to have this to look at to know he's working in our life. And that spirit of religion that says, you got to have something to look at, something to hold, something to handle. And it's faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. My. The awesome things that we can see. I mean, God literally said, I despise your feast day. He's the one that created them. See, but he's not wrong, because he's the one that is calling them to repentance and to see who he is and to walk with him. In Jesus' name, let's pray, and then we'll receive communion. Father, thank you for this word from Amos, your servant. Thank you that you containerize them inside of a Bible, the roadmap to heaven. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you've illuminated this time of reading you the Word of God. And it's ministering to every person who hears it in a slightly different manner. Thank you, Father. You truly are great. And you do miracles so great. And we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen. Well, Let's receive communion together. This is our Sunday morning. I don't know if you can call it a tradition or just the process. First thing I'm going to do is read the verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Then we'll pray the prayer of salvation so we know that everybody that's listening is ready to receive from God. We'll bless the elements. We'll receive them together. Ready? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 28, verse 31. And can you hear that storm? Beautiful rainstorm. We sure missed that last year, man. It was so dry. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Verse 25, in the same manner after supper, he also took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's redemptive work, his death, burial, resurrection, until it comes." Verse 28, "Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup." Verse 31, "For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged." 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. "Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment." Why? Because as he is, so are we in the world. And of course, Jesus is the great I am. So there's no past tense with him. It's all now. Verse 18, "Perfect love cast out fear, and the torment, the trauma that goes with it. Because there is no fear in love. And there is no fear in the communion of it." Now, let's pray the prayer of salvation. Prayer of salvation, prayer of rededication. And for those of you that's already born again, and you're walking with God every day, it's a prayer proclaiming who God is in our lives. And I recommend you do this every single day because it fills you with life. Ready? Pray this prayer with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
You
give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
And I thank you.
Thank you.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
Put your arms out and just say, "I receive you into my life right now.
I receive you into my life right now.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your grace and
all of your love and righteousness.
All of your love and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
I thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Lord. I thank you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
And all the fullness of God.
And all the fullness of God.
So that I can walk in great power.
So I can walk in great power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly
and
language.
Live a successful life.
And live a successful
life. As a believer every day.
As a believer.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus'
name. Amen and amen. You might be saying, Man, Pastor, what's going on right now? Well, what's going on right now is Jesus, the light of the world, has just come to live on the inside of him. You invited him to come in, and he did. You said all of your grace, mercy, love, and righteousness. And all four of those things came into your life. How awesome is that? Because you prayed the prayer and welcomed him in. You are now an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. I have been in this verse, been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. He's actually in you. The life which I now live in this flesh, in your body, my body, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Why? Because he came to live within you. Father's adopted you. You're an heir of God. You're part of the family. How amazing is that? God wants to be one with you, to be your father, and for you to know him every single day. And that's what this is all about. In Jesus' mighty name. My email address and website's right there in the notes. Send me an email. Say, hey, Pastor, I prayed a prayer today. And help me walk with God. We will help you walk with God because we know how to walk with God. And the Bible is not a difficult book. We understand it. And you will too in a short period of time by just coming and applying yourself. And that one sermon list got 22 sermons in it. That'd be a good one. And most of them about the righteousness of God and the blessing of God in our life. Will be a blessing. Well, here we go. Let's receive our communion elements right now together. We'll bless them and we'll begin. Pray this with me. I bless and sanctify these elements.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
For this time of communion with you.
In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression. You were bruised for my iniquity.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace is upon you, Lord.
It's upon you, Lord.
And by your stripes I am healed. In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions. Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint supplying.
In my body. From your broken body, Jesus. In the body of Christ. In my community. And right here in this community of faith. In Jesus' mighty name.
Let's receive
his body broken. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that your body was broken. And you did it just for us. So that we could be made whole. Now, we lift up the cup of blessing, the blood of Jesus. Pray this with me, by the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of
Jesus, I have reconciliation with you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus,
every sin
I have ever committed
has been placed in remission
in my life.
I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away.
Don't you just love it? And all things have become new.
And all things have become new.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I come boldly to the throne room of grace.
To the throne room of
where I find grace, mercy, and help.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment every day.
For my assignment every day.
Don't you just love it? By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of
Jesus. And the word of my testimony.
And the word of my testimony.
I overcome.
I overcome.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every plague has to pass over.
Every plague has to pass over.
And cannot be on me or my family.
And cannot be on me or my family.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
The accuser of the brethren.
Is
cast down forever, and I rebuke condemnation from my life. My conscience is purged. My robes are made white.
And I will always be
the glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish. When you come for me.
When you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's receive. Thank you, Jesus, that your body was broken and your blood was shed. Let's sing that song we love to sing. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What has made me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Well, there it is, guys. Amos 1 through 5. You know, we really learned a lot this year. And I think probably some of the greatest verses to describe it is Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 through 9, where God told Joshua, meditate in the law day and night. And then all of these verses, and two walk together unless they be agreed. That's God saying he's not walking with them being wicked. That's what that verse is about. And then I love those verses we read earlier that said, you've got to humble yourself. You've got to humble yourself and come to God. Remember, if you're willing and obedient, you get to eat the good of the land. If you refuse God and rebel against him, you'll be devoured by the sword. And the sword you'll probably be devoured by is your own tongue and your own mouth for things that you say. And you don't want to do that. All right. Got to run. We sure do love you. We thank you for being our partners. God instructs you to be a partner with us. Do it. We got a radio station where we're getting ready to go on. Kansas City's $28 a day. And if you would like to, if you'd like to sponsor that for a day, we welcome you. You can send it by, you know, internet transaction. We got PayPal and Cash App and Zoe and a couple different ones. And we'll be glad to receive your seed, but make sure you mark it. If that's what it's for, make sure you mark it. You're going to reach the city of Kansas City with the word that God's given to us right here. And we bless you for being our friends and partners. Well, till we see you again, I declare, well, Leanne and I both declare, because this is a verse of scripture we speak all the time. May the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow with it be yours every single day of your life. Not the blessings, houses, cars, and things. God's blessing upon you draws all that stuff. And may your life and family be blessed today. In Jesus' name. Remember this. We love you.
We love you.
And God loves you. And Jesus is Lord. See you soon.